Welcome back to Voices from the Frontlines. This is Eric Mann with my co-host Damon Azali. We're happy to have on the show Tufik Haddad, who I feel like I know because I've been reading your stuff all morning in preparation for the show, and so is Damon. How you doing?
Well, thank you.
I know you're a writer who's lived on the West Bank, the Gaza Strip. You now live in San Francisco, currently co-editing a book on the Palestinian Intifada to be published by Haymarket Books in the fall of this year. Well, that's the trouble with democracy, huh? I mean, you know, go kill all those people for democracy and then call for free elections and the wrong people win. The United States has trouble with these elections, don't they?
Sure they do. Yeah, it was not part of their planning. On one level, what they had been doing and allowing Israel to do was basically to conduct a full-out assault against what was the national movement that was formerly led by the Fetah movement and the secular parties. And they beat that down so hard, in a way, throughout the past both 40 years as well as particularly the last 5 years, that the sentiment and the national rights issues are now being taken up in the embodiment of Hamas, which still preserves the main issues of, you know, the right to return of the Palestinian refugees, the right for a Palestinian independent state, the right for Jerusalem, and also rejecting the Zionist nature of the state of Israel. And so what we see now is sort of these rights and these issues being taken up by Hamas, largely because of two different things. On one level, you have the terrible assaults that took place against Fatah and the PLO over the course of history, in addition to their own compromises, which they thought over the years would bring them steps closer to achieving their goals. In fact, it only brought them steps away from achieving their goals while alienating the Palestinian constituency, which had fought for these institutions and felt that they were things which could help achieve Palestinian rights. And now you have basically Hamas coming up, represented beneath the banner of Palestinian national rights, but also the banner that the Palestinians have a right to resist as well. This was something which the national movement itself had to some extent retreated from in years past. And given the assault, given the way the peace process acted, given the fact that Israel doubled the number of settlements and then worked tirelessly to sort of destroy the Palestinian national movement and to create these reservations where Palestinians are sort of situated in the West Bank and Gaza, you have Hamas winning now, basically. And
let me go into that for a minute. I've been reading the Hamas statement, and you know, you open up several of your commentaries by saying that that people really have to take Hamas seriously, and that one of the things is to break through a lot of the stereotypes. And certainly, it's a very carefully crafted and interesting statement by Hamas, beginning with, "It's widely recognized that the Palestinians are among the most politicized and educated peoples in the world. When they went to the polls last Wednesday, they were well aware of what was on offer, and those who voted for Hamas knew what it stood for. They chose Hamas because of its pledge never to give up the legitimate rights of the Palestinian people and its promise to embark on a program of reform. There were those warning them locally and internationally not to vote for an organization branded by the U.S. and EU as terrorist, because such a democratically elected right would cost them the financial aid provided by foreign donors." Then later on, just two other points. It's very interesting that they say, "We have seen how other nations, including the peoples of Vietnam and South Africa, persisted in their struggle until their quest for freedom and justice was accomplished." So it's very interesting choosing their choice of international alignment. They then have a warning to the Muslim and Arab nations, basically to stop intimidating them and to stop threatening them. Then I want to read this as a Jew. "Our message to the Israelis is this. We do not fight you because you belong to a certain faith or culture. Jews have lived in the Muslim world for 13 centuries in peace and harmony. They're in our religion, quote, the people of the book, who have a covenant from God and his messenger, Muhammad, peace be upon him, to be respected and protected. Our conflict with you is not religious but political. We have no problem with Jews who have not attacked us. Our problem is with those who came to our land, imposed themselves on us by force, destroyed our society, and banished our people." And then finally, in terms of something which I want to come back to later, We shall never recognize the legitimacy of a Zionist state created on our soil in order to atone for somebody else's sins or solve somebody else's problems, obviously meaning Europe's problems of they didn't even want the Jews. But if you're willing to accept the principle of a long-term truce, we're prepared to negotiate the terms. So it's pretty I think it's pretty sophisticated, nuanced opening statement. Give us a sense of, so given this, who is Hamas? What is Hamas? Where do you situate them? How would you interpret them as a political movement to our listeners? Start with there.
Okay, that's a good question. It's also a complex question.
Of course.
I'll begin by saying that the statements that you read are actually not a derivation. They do not veer from what have been long-held Palestinian national tenets, upheld by the PLO, the fact that this conflict is not a religious conflict with Jewish people. It's a question about colonialism. It's a political question. It's a question of the fact that the Palestinians were expelled because of Zionist armies, etc. And so when Hamas says that, and also when they say that sort of they see themselves as the continuity of colonized peoples such as those in South Africa and Vietnam, they are also positioning themselves within this sort of, you know, anti-colonialist setting. It goes to show that sort of the demonization of Hamas, the overall Palestinian movement, but particularly the Islamic trends within it, are nothing more than sheer racism. In fact, I mean, if you look at their politics, they have been consistent with this kind of discourse. As far as who they are, the reason I bring that up is to show that at the core of Hamas is the defense of the national rights, the national historical Palestinian national rights, which they feel, and the Palestinian constituency that voted for Hamas feels, the secular nationalist movement under the leadership of Fatah, in the embodiment of the Palestinian Authority for the last 10 years, has failed and made great retreats on these basic national tenets. And so what Hamas did was it crafted itself since its establishment in 1987, at the beginning of the 1987 Intifada, to carefully shadow every area where Fatah, in its what it would describe pragmatism or opportunism, essentially tried to or veered from, because it was maneuvering to try and because essentially the old PLO, its strategy for liberating the land was one which said we can ingratiate ourselves with the ruling class order of the Arab world, that means Saudi Arabia, the Gulf states, Egypt, Jordan, the pro-American U.S. satellites, and we can ingratiate ourselves with the Israelis and with the Americans, and that you can trust us as a Palestinian Authority to, we do not want to upset your balance, we do not want to mess up your access to U.S., to oil in the Gulf, etc. This strategy failed. It failed during the peace process. Israel attempted to obviously consolidate the Jewish state, like deeper and deeper into the West Bank, and close down the pin in Palestinians. And Hamas articulating a different strategy, one that was of resistance, but it's not just a resistance of armed confrontation with Israel, although that is sort of what they're largely known for in the obviously in the Western world. But much more was the ability of Hamas on a day-to-day basis, through its on the basis it laid with its political positions, the charities and the social work networks which we hear about that Hamas has, which are quite extensive, particularly in areas of deep poverty in Gaza and throughout the West Bank, this enabled Hamas to essentially consolidate its control over the local. But despite all this, I want to say Hamas remains actually a smaller party than Fatah on the national scene. Like, Fatah is actually still a larger party. The fact, though, is that Hamas is much more centralized and much more organized. The reason why Hamas won the election, in addition to the political questions that I raised, its defense of national rights, and in addition to its political position regarding resistance, was also because Fatah was not able to put up a unified list on its obviously, they were tainted with the issue of corruption, but when it came down to putting up their list for people to vote for, in as many as 14 different districts, Fatah is said to have lost upwards of 100,000 votes because The official Fatah list included names that were unpopular, and people within Fatah who were in disagreement with the official Fatah list went on independent lists. And so it split the Fatah vote. It gave Hamas, which had obviously a much more organized constituency and a political perspective, and they organized their people to come out on the days, and they won. And this was very clear in the results of in the slates where if you voted for Fatah or Hamas or the left or different left parties, Fatah and Hamas were very close. Hamas inched them out by one seat. But in the areas where people could vote for independent candidates, whether they were Fatah or independent, many of whom were also Fatah candidates but on an independent list, or Hamas candidates, this is where Fatah lost. There was a discrepancy of over 20 different seats.
So hold on a second. Tayyip, because I have a couple more. You're doing great, by the way. I just want to make sure we get a couple more questions.
Sure, no problem.
I'm with Tufik Haddad, who knows more than we're going to have time for in this, and this is fascinating stuff. I just read www.counterpunch.org by Tufik Haddad. 15 prisoners have been elected to the Palestinian parliament, a parliament of prisoners. That in itself is a terrific article. In one of your articles, you talked about the failure, I mean, in that this is an Islamicist movement. I have trouble trying to understand not just the secular versus, quote, Islamicist, but how does the Islamicist movement situate itself on so-called secular questions? Because fundamentally, when you govern, you still govern on material things like what's your policy going to be towards the Israelis? What's your United Front going to be like? So there's two questions. What do they really look like in terms of the moves they're going to make? And the related questions is you talked about the failure. If Fatah represented perhaps the discredited, corrupt, assimilationist, secular movement, where is the honest, militant left secular movement? You seem to indicate not in very good shape. So I'm asking you two questions together.
Okay. If I understand... Well, both questions are quite complicated. What's Hamas's agenda? It's something that might be clarifying to begin with. Hamas's agenda, as I said, they ended up actually getting a lot of votes from inside Fatah and also what's known as the non-aligned. Essentially, 35% of the Palestinian electorate doesn't consider itself aligned anywhere or having a political party that represents it. So a lot of those votes and a lot of the votes inside Fatah also went to Hamas. What their agenda is, they are very clear about it at this stage. They are trying to reformulate the entire Palestinian national trajectory on a new political basis, new organizational basis, one that is hopefully free from corruption, one that is laid on a solid political foundation, that the questions, the central questions of the Palestinian national movement are not up for debate, and that they will be clarified for all. As far as their agenda vis-a-vis the Israelis and the peace process, etc., they are not in a rush. They understand this process is a long-term process to reorganize the basic structures of the Palestinian. They are actually not even a member of the PLO right now. So in many ways, you have them doing the job of trying to restructure the national movement, despite the fact that they are initially an Islamic movement, but they have to do it because of both the failures of the Fatah and its corruption, both political and organizational, in addition to the weakness of the secular left. The left forces, left of Fatah, I'm saying, the Popular Front, the Democratic Front, and the former Communist parties, etc. These factions, their political weaknesses are long-standing. They do not know how to define themselves as independent on a strong political basis. For the last 10 years, never really educated their cadre. They had very much, they sort of had. Quite Stalinist approaches, if we must be honest, towards their methods of organizing as well as their politics, and they were never able to sort of articulate themselves in a way that was that could really pull in the Palestinian masses at the time. So I'm trying to think. What's the second part of your question again?
Well, the two parts you sort of been getting at. The one is I'm trying to understand what is Hamas's, as I was saying, its secular or its programmatic influence, and then second is why the fairy of the left, and you answered them both.
Okay.
So let's put it together a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Coming to power has at least two problems with it.
Mm-hmm.
One, of course, is it's very easy to be, not easy, it is easier to be the critique out of power party,
sure,
than the in power party. Secondly, is that the world does not allow self-determination because of the United States and Israel. And the fact that this is a free election, Salvador Allende's grave is proof that the United States will not tolerate free elections if the wrong person wins. So they have two dilemmas. They have to preserve the so-called revolution, not the so-called, the revolution,
mm-hmm,
against foreign invasion, Israeli counter-revolution, and U.S. intervention. They have to also build a united front with all the different forces,
mm-hmm,
in the Palestinian united front. How are they going to do it?
Well, it's going to be tough. As you mentioned, to begin with, both they're already under threat from the U.S. and the EU that their money is going to be cut off. And in addition to that, you have to understand that the entire Palestinian Authority, which they actually, you know, won the government for right now, it was only created, its raison d'etre from the beginning was to be this force that would be subcontracted by the U.S. and Israel to play this security role. And this was for Israel, so it would prevent any anti-Israeli sentiment or anti-occupation sentiment from being carried out. So it's sort of a contradictory position. The entity that they just took hold of has a functional problem with it as vis-a-vis the way that Americans want it to be. So the point is Hamas wants to now take this entity and make it, as you mentioned, sort of a popular front sort of framework within which the true nationalist sectors of Hamas and of the national movement will come forward. And actually, they need in this time, more than others, the participation of their secular allies in the left, as well as those, the honest folks in Fatah. And my belief is that they actually will get a considerable proportion of Fatah to side with their agenda, in addition to people on the left to side with them. The Popular Front has already expressed that they're interested in this. Hamas also backed four independent candidates, including one Christian who from Gaza, in addition to a quite well-known figure who will begin to be known much more internationally, a fellow by the name of Ziad Abu Amr, who was an independent candidate. He has basic left ideas. He was never a member of any particular party, but he has supposedly been offered the portfolio of a foreign minister. He's a very well-spoken person in English and in Arabic. He was, as an independent, both in the first Palestinian election in 1996 and in this election, he got very high numbers of votes as somebody who is honest. And so I think the question... And then you also have to add to this the question of the money issue, where the fact is that, you know, as I said, they're not going to have any more money coming in from the Europeans, who largely fund the functioning of the Palestinian Authority. In addition to the context, of course, which we can't forget, of the fact that Israel controls everything that goes in and out of these areas, in addition to having 24-hour, you know, surveillance of the area through these unmanned drones, etc. But
I think I'm going to hold you there again. You're doing great.
Okay.
This is Eric Mann with Damon Azzali. We're going to go to a short break. You're on KPFK 90.7 FM. Mm-hmm. We're talking to Tzafik Hatad, and when we come back, we are going to open up the phones, and I thought we're going to let you actually ask a couple of questions that Tzafik will get the last word on. The number to call is 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. We're going to go to a short break, and when we come back, we'll do the phones.